of the Lord today. Do you love the Lord today? I'm going to give some of us a pass because I know we got masks on and it's muffling our speech a little bit. But if I could speak for you, I love the Lord today. I love the Lord today because of what He has done for me. But now, you know, it's a little past that now. I love Him because of who He is. You know, you start off by loving like a child, like you love mommy and daddy because they buy you presents. But then you start to grow and you start to learn that the presents, those are just things. It's the person. Do you love the person of God? It's 11:31. I know I gotta keep moving. But you know, I had to come to terms. The Lord had you know, talked with me this week, and yeah, there was a lot that was happening, but He just reminded me that He loves me and He cares for me and that He gave up His Son for me. Is there anybody that has that same testimony? You may not be able to say anything. You may not be able to clap. You might be online. I don't know when you're hearing this, but the Lord is good. Please turn with me to the book of Philippians. Please turn with me to the book of Philippians. I'm realizing that in this praise to the Lord, I forgot to pray to the Lord. So, Father, we thank You for this message, Lord. We thank You for what You have to say to us, God, because in everything that You tell us, we know You love us, God. Whether we're being chastened or whether we're being comforted, God, we know that Your love is unconditional, God. And we thank You. We ask, Lord, that as I get ready to preach this word, Lord, that I not confuse nor distort what You have to say. Lord, help me to be clear, God, and help all of us to walk away with what You would have us to know and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Book of Philippians, second chapter, first through second verses. If you don't have it, your own Bibles, you can look on the screen. We got them up there. Book of Philippians, the second chapter, first through second verse. We're actually going to be covering a whole lot more of the book of Philippians. But in the interest of time, we're just going to read the first and second verses. When you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say wait a minute. Test. The book of Philippians, the second chapter, the first through second verses read as follows. It says, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy," verse 2, "make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose." And that concludes the reading of God's word. On this Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2021, I have a title that's going to throw you off a little bit.
Vaccine or nah? Vaccine or nah? I thought this was supposed to be a love sermon, Pastor. Just follow me. Vaccine or nah? Or if I have to be proper, vaccine or no vaccine? That has been one of the questions that have dominated really the worldwide discussion, but especially American conversation. Are you going to take the vaccine or no? Are you going to do it or not? And some of us are saying, yeah, you know, first, we're going to take this vaccine the first chance I get. First chance I get. And then there's some of us that are saying, I don't know about all that. I don't know if it's a fear of needles. And yes, you know, the vaccine needle is like this. It's a big old needle. Maybe it's the needle. Maybe we've heard a lot of reports. You know, that vaccine don't even work. And by the time you get it, the virus is gonna have mutated and that vaccine ain't even gonna work no more. Now, you know there's evidence against all that, but still, that's the argument. This is just a way for the government to control you. They're just going to put a little microchip. You can't see it. But they're going to put it in you, and they're going to be tracking you. That the mark of the beast. Already happening. Now, you know, first of all, the government don't need a vaccine chip to track us. If you've ever driven by a street light, government knows where you are. If you've ever filed any type of paperwork, government knows who you are. So you kind of late on that train. If you have a phone, government knows where you are and who you are. This is Black History Month, right? You know what Americans have done to Black people? This is a real thing that's brought up. I don't trust the government because of what I'm not going to be their next experiment. And just so people know, you know, there's all kinds of people that have been getting the vaccine, not just African Americans. And you know, there's other arguments and whatnot that are brought up, but when it comes to the vaccine, what I'm realizing is there is a way that the world is talking. There is a way that the world is processing whether to take the vaccine or not. And again, you know, when it's all said and done, I am not a medical professional. You need to talk with your doctor to determine whether you need to be taking that vaccine. So please, this sermon is not about whether you should take it or not. You need to talk to your doctor. However, what I am noticing is that the same exact conversations that are happening out in the world are happening in the church. The same ones. And some of us flip through our Bibles and look for that chapter where God speaks about vaccines, and we can't find it because there was no such thing as a vaccine when the Bible was written. So we think God has nothing to say about it. So we're just up to figure it out by ourselves. One of the problems that the church has is when there are times where we think the same as the rest of the world. For something this big, for something this important, for something this life-changing, society-changing, we're thinking, as the church, we think exactly like the world. Is that a problem? We're thinking exactly like those who are not saved, who are not blood-bought, who are not filled with the Spirit. We think exactly the same. Have you noticed that? My question to you is this. How do we think differently than the world when it comes to vaccines? We don't have our favorite Bible verse on it. How do we think differently than the world? How do we as Christians process this whole issue of vaccines? Philippians, the first chapter, is where Paul comes in, obviously talking to, writing a letter to the church of the Philippians. Paul is in a Roman jail, writing to the Philippians. Paul is imprisoned because he has basically been preaching the gospel. He has been doing exactly what God has called him to do. Paul has gotten some fame and notoriety because of the fact that he has gotten locked up for the cause of Christ. And in fact, because he was locked up, there are people in the Imperial Guard that are getting saved because he was there spreading the gospel while he was in chains. So Paul is this super Christian as far as, you know, the church is concerned. Paul has all of this notoriety. And what was happening is that when Paul was in chains and doing all of these things, Paul was inspiring people to get up and preach the gospel. People were becoming more fearless. People were becoming more bold because Paul was in chains and preaching the gospel. But there was also something that was happening, was that there were some people that didn't like that Paul was getting all the attention. There were people, Christians, ministers, that thought that just because Paul's in jail, that shouldn't entitle him to the right of having such a high status in the church. And this is where we go in verse 15, which and it reads as follows. It says, to be sure, Paul's writing to the Philippians, to be sure, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. These, verse 16, these preach out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition. Everybody say selfish. Not sincerely, thinking that they will cause me trouble in my imprisonment. Now, if you're Paul, okay, y'all say saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. Let me talk about me. If I was Paul and I'm in jail, I don't want to be in jail. These jails are uncomfortable, to say the least. I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to get killed or not. And I got Christian ministers out here dogging me because I'm in jail. Now, naturally, what I would want to do is write an angry letter. How dare y'all? Y'all just not out here like I'm out here. Y'all just not putting in work like I'm putting in work. So y'all just mad because, you know, my status is a little higher, and I didn't even ask for this. I didn't even want this. But God bless me, you just need to go out there and actually be bold and preach the gospel. Paul, you know, I would expect Paul to say something like that. But look at what Paul says in verse 18. He says, what does it matter? Only that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Paul was obviously not speaking well of those who were preaching out of selfish ambition. Paul was obviously a little miffed with how they would try to use this opportunity to raise their status instead. But Paul says, you know what? Instead of me focusing on them, because if I focus on them, I'm just going to end up being just like them, trying to prop myself up and talk about how good I am. Instead of that, what I'm realizing is that Christ is proclaimed. Even though they don't like me, the word is getting out. Paul thought differently than the world, because it wasn't about being selfish. It was about Jesus Christ being proclaimed. Let's move to another example. Verse 21, Philippians, the first chapter, 21st verse. This is one of our favorite funeral texts. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, and this is Paul writing. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me. And I don't know which one I should choose. What? I am torn between the two. I long to depart and be with Christ, which is what? Far better. This is not necessarily part of the sermon, but some of us need to know that our loved ones are in a better place, a far better place. And if we were to try to bring them down, they would actually be extremely upset with us because they were in a far better place. I am torn between the two. I long to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh, verse 24, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Paul is saying, I could die and be good, better than good, perfect. I can die and go see the Savior that died for me. I can die and go enjoy the rest of eternity and all the things that I've labored for and worked for and given up everything for while I'm in this jail for. I can go and be with Him. And that is far better. That's what I was made to do. I can go do that. But if I live, if I stay here, it benefits you, not really me. I'm ready to go. It benefits you. What would you do if you were Paul? I mean, dying is not a bad thing if you're a Christian. It's actually, I hate to say it, a great thing. Because that's how you go to communion with your Father. If you're Paul and you're going through and you're getting beaten with and all this stuff and you've been doing that year after year after year after year, people dogging you while you're in jail, talking about you ain't, your ministry ain't nothing. People desert you, people backbiting, people scheming, and you're going through all this for the cause of Christ, and you've done your work, you've traveled, it's time to go. It's time to go. It's over. It's done. I've done my part. But Paul says to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Would you stay here if that's your life? Why? Why? Look what Paul says. He says, since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that because of my coming to you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus may abound. I have a far better lifestyle that I will enjoy forever. And I can just go there. But I'm going to stay. Honestly, because y'all need me. I mean, could we just be real? That's what he said. I'm only here because y'all need me. You see how Paul's thinking differently than the world? The world probably would have chosen, option number one, just get out of here, you know. Especially if we're saved, especially, nah, we gone, bye. But Paul said, you know what? This is going to help you. Not really going to help me, but this is going to help you. You see how Paul's not being selfish? He's thinking about others. He gives one more example. And this is where our scripture comes today. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And he's getting ready to explain how that is done. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. Some people say vain or vanity. But in humility, consider others as what? More important than yourselves. Oh, you didn't understand what that means? He wrote verse 4. Everyone should look not to his own interests, but rather to the interests of others. Y'all think that don't go over well today? That show wasn't going over well in Romans times. The Roman culture preached exactly the opposite. Take care of yourself. Hold on to yourself. This sounds familiar. Love yourself. Don't worry about what everybody else got to do. You need to take care of you. And Paul is saying, no, not just look at yourself, but look at others. Look at the interests of others. Why? What gives you the authority to say something like that, Paul? He says, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, we're in Philippians 2, the 6th chapter, who, Philippians 2nd chapter, 6th verse, excuse me, who, existing in the form of God, Jesus Christ, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Some versions read grasp, some versions read held onto. What Paul was saying was that Jesus Christ, y'all realize Jesus Christ didn't just start being God when he was born, right? Like, he was and is and forever will be the Son of the living God. He has existed before. He was there when everything was created. He was, is, and forever will be the I am that I am. And he existed all this time. Jesus never needed anything. He's God. He's self-sufficient. He's self-fulfilled. He don't need nothing from nobody. He's good because he literally is the definition of good. He existed in the form of God. He did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. He did not look at his position at God and say, you know what, I'm just going to enjoy this for myself. He could have. He's God. He literally makes all the laws of the universe. He made all the moral laws as well. He could have done anything he wanted and it would have been right. But look what Jesus did. He said, instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. This is the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, is that he did not look at his own interests. He looked at the interests of others. For this reason, verse 9, it says, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That's every knee. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. My knee is bent. My tongue confesses that because Jesus, who didn't have to come down here for nothing, he did. He did it for me. He did it. That's why he is exalted. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I know my time is running. There is a problem with this, though. I want y'all to, some of y'all already know the problem with this. So if I'm rereading this, you know, he humbled himself and then now he's exalted. Jesus did all this so that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the reason why he did it all. I mean, let's just, I know I'm being like a skeptic, I'm being a little critic, but I want y'all to think about this. This is the reason, this is it. He went through all this brutality on the cross and all this, died and rose again on the third day, all just so that we can have church services and you know, hallelujah. That's it? Really? That's it? I'm saying this because if that's the truth, one, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to sound very sacrilegious. I'm going to get off of here. Honestly, let me just be real with you. Honestly, if that's what Jesus did it for, he just wanted to get some more praise. It's kind of a stupid reason. It's kind of a lame, it's kind of pointless. First of all, like he did all this so that people could praise him? Can't he just force people to praise him? I mean, you know, every knee's going to bow anyway, right? I mean, y'all understand that, right? Like, you're going to bow to him, whether you're saved or not. You're going to bow to him. So why would he do something to save us so that we could bow to him and confess that he is Lord, but we're going to do it anyway? It's a big waste of time. I'm just going to be real honest with you. If that's what Jesus did it for, it's a big waste of time. I said, y'all ain't never heard no preacher say that. It's a big waste of time. But then here's a more serious problem with it. If you really look at the text, if Jesus did all this so that he could get praise from us, then isn't that doing something out of self-interest? Isn't that it? Isn't that exactly what it's about? If Jesus did all this so that he could get all the praise later on, that means he literally did all of this so that we would praise him. It's a self-serving motive, which, again, in point number one, he didn't even need anyway. Y'all understand this? I say this because a lot of us may have heard this, and a lot of us know this memory verse, know these verses almost by memory. We even have songs about it, but they always stop right here. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do y'all realize there is more to verse 11? What does it say? To the glory of God the Father. Y'all realize that changes this entire verse? Do y'all realize that this is the reason why Paul even mentions this? Is because Jesus did all this, and this was to glorify God the Father. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. He did all this. He was obedient to the Father's will because he wanted the Father to receive the glory. So fundamentally, Jesus is the epitome of doing something for somebody else. What did Jesus really get out of it? Nothing. And that's what Paul is trying to say. Jesus really didn't get anything out of this. We get saved, and the Father gets glorified. But the Son never really gets anything that he didn't have before. That's what humility looks like. Why am I saying this? How do we think differently than the world? We think about others over ourselves. Some of y'all said, how in the world does this relate to the vaccine? Every conversation that I won't say every, but the majority of the conversations that I have heard about the vaccines have been about how it affects us. Think about it. I'm not ready for the vaccine. I'm not ready to be stuck in the side with this big old needle. I don't believe that the government is being truthful. I don't think I need it. I don't. You know, it's me, myself, and I. How do we think differently than the world? We think about others over ourselves. That means, you know what? I don't know whether the conspiracy theory is true or not. I don't know whether how much that needle is going to hurt. But if the Lord is leading me to take the vaccine, and again, talk to your doctor. The Lord does use doctors. If the Lord is leading me to take the vaccine, it's not about me. And again, talk to your doctor. If the Lord is leading you not to take the vaccine, don't matter how much you want it. It's not about me. How does this affect others? How does my decision to take the vaccine or to not take the vaccine affect other people? That's the question. That's why we're wearing masks right now. That's why we're sitting two pews apart and three seats over. It's not, I know I don't have the Rona. I know I don't. But I'm not just going to go around and hugging people. Why? I'm not scared of giving the Rona. And to be quite honest, I'm not even scared of getting it. I'm just going to be straight honest with you. I'm not really scared of getting it. I feel like I'm healthy. I think I can take it. But you know what? Again, like Paul, if I end up catching it and I end up dying, I know where I'm going. So win-win situation. I know it sounds morbid, but I'm just being extremely real. Win-win situation. I'm not scared of it. But the reason I wear a mask, the reason I stay 6 feet apart, and the reason, again, for me, I want to take the vaccine is because of you. God forbid that I get the virus, knowingly or unknowingly, and pass it along to one of you who gets sick and passes away. God forbid if I, because of my decision, because of me thinking about myself and what I want or don't want, God forbid that has an effect on you. God forbid if he's telling me not to take the vaccine and I do take it and I do get sick. And me being sick and whatever, even dying, causes things to go all in disarray. God forbid it if I did that because I just felt like this was the best decision for me. Long story short, just remember this. Talking about Love Sunday, right? In order to love them, we got to think about them. If I can just leave you with this, in order to love them, we got to think about them. How can I love others when, you know, and this vaccine, and it's not mentioned in the Bible? In order to love them, we got to think about them. Make that vaccine, wearing a mask, 6 feet, whatever it is, make that decision about somebody else. Everybody's going to be talking about how much it affects them. Everybody's going to talk about how much, you know, I'm going to get affected. As Christians, how can we think differently? Start talking about others. How does this affect others?